Hey guys, Trevor here with the E-Commerce Paradise podcast. Today's episode, I'm going to share with you an interview that I did with the E-Commerce Marketing podcast with Arlen Robinson. They are the guys behind Omnistar Affiliate Program, which we use for our affiliate program for the High Ticket Dropshipping Masterclass. Speaking of which, if you are interested in being an affiliate for the High Ticket Dropshipping Masterclass, we do have spots available. All you need to apply is either a email list or a following of some sort, like a YouTube channel or a podcast related to high ticket dropshipping or e-commerce or even just marketing in general, but some sort of an audience to publish to. Or you have to be a student of the masterclass and you have then gone through all the materials and you can refer the course to your friends and family. So if you are interested, you can go to ecommerceparadise.com/affiliates. All right, so with that said, let's go ahead and get into this interview that I did with Arlen over at the E-Commerce Marketing Podcast. I hope you guys enjoy, and I'll see you in the next episode.
Hey, E-Commerce Marketing Podcast listener. Are you looking to increase traffic and sales to your website? You can do this by launching your own affiliate program. Just visit getosi.com and sign up for a free trial today. That's getosi.com. Welcome back to the E-Commerce Marketing Podcast, everyone. I am your host, Arlen Robinson. And today we've got a very special guest, Trevor Finner, who is an e-commerce entrepreneur, mentor, coach, creator of E-Commerce Paradise and the High Ticket Dropshipping Masterclass. Trevor has been selling physical products online since high school and now teaches entrepreneurs how to do exactly what he does to make more money online and travel the world. Welcome to the podcast, Trevor.
Thanks, Arlen. Happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. And I'm really excited to talk to you about drop shipping, high ticket items. And so it's an area that I don't know a whole lot of myself. So you're going to be enlightening me as well as our audience. So it's definitely going to be a good time. But you know, before we kind of get into all of that, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into what you're doing today?
Yeah. So like you said, in high school, I started selling things online. It was actually thanks to my photography teacher. He had some old photography equipment. And this was right about the time when everything was switching over to digital photography. And so he wanted to sell the old photography equipment on eBay. And he thought, what a great way to have the class do a project and kind of teach us a new skill set, which is selling things online, because he likes to sell a lot of stuff on eBay. So he had the whole class take pictures with his digital camera of all the old photography equipment. We listed it on eBay, and that's how I learned how to make kind of sales pages and descriptions of products and stuff like that, and do market research and find out how much a product would be worth online, that kind of stuff. And yeah, we successfully sold the equipment, and there you go. And that was my first foray into e-commerce. And then from there, I going through college, I wanted to make side money, you know, and have little hustles here and there. So I sold textbooks on Amazon that I didn't need anymore. And I did garage sale flipping. And yeah, I used to take stuff at my job where, you know, I worked in a warehouse and they had a returns department that I managed, and they were basically throwing things away that were perfectly good, just to kind of avoid dealing with people that wanted to resell it and stuff like that. And so I asked the manager, I was like, hey, do you mind if I just dig through the dumpster and grab some of this stuff out? Cause it's perfectly good. He's like, hey, just don't let anybody see you do it. And I was like, all right. So I went and grabbed some of the stuff out and looked it on eBay, and it's worth some money. So I sold it and kept doing that kind of stuff. And I actually ended up talking to one of the clients that I was working with at that job. And, he's an entrepreneur. He saw that I wanted to become an entrepreneur and kind of get out of the day job, get out of the rat race, you know, and start living more of a, I don't know if I want to say get rich, but like, I just wanted to live a better lifestyle instead of being kind of stuck in a dead end job and working in a cubicle and stuff like that. So I was talking to him and we were trying to come up with ideas on what to do. And he heard about dropshipping from somebody. You know, it's a way to sell physical products without having to stock them yourself, without having to have the inventory. Somebody else has the inventory in a warehouse somewhere and you just use them as a fulfillment warehouse. And so we kind of got started. I tried to start a skateboard brand. That was my first kind of thing. So I'm a skateboarder, and it didn't really work out because it's very low cost items. The profit was very low, and the industry is based out of core skate shops and stuff like that. So it's a really hard place to do drop shipping. But we looked around at different product niches, and we actually came across a really trendy niche at the time. He was actually driving around a lot. He's a locksmith, and he was driving around a lot in North Hollywood. And North Hollywood at the time, around 2010, there was a lot of kids riding these really cool looking bicycles around. And he noticed that, and he said, you know, what are those things? And we checked it out online, and it turns out they're called fixies, or fixed gear bicycles. And we looked it up, and it's actually trending really, really strong back then. And we decided, you know, why not figure out how to do this? So we found a supplier in LA that was actually willing to drop ship for us without us having a physical bike shop. So that was kind of a big thing. We got an account, and I figured out how to do an e-commerce store, and we got our first sale. That was the big aha moment. I was like, wow, it actually works. You know, the moment I got that sale, and I think it went through and made like $30 or something, gotcha. $300 bicycle. Wow. Okay. We can do this. Right. You know?
So that was the confirmation. You knew right at that point it is possible, and the sky's the limit from there on. A quick side note. Yeah, I kind of had a flashback when you mentioned the dumpster diving store. In my early college days, I think maybe my freshman and sophomore year, I went back home for my summer break in the Chicago area. And I got a temp job because I was having trouble finding like a little summer position. So I did some temping. And one of the jobs was a baseball card company had one of their cleaning staff accidentally threw out some type of film or negative to one of the baseball cards or whatever. I'm kind of dating myself because nowadays everything's digital. But this was, I guess, kind of at the transition period where things were kind of still on actual film and not just digital media. And so one of their cleaning staff accidentally threw out something that I think was pretty valuable. So they hired some temps to go dumpster diving, and it was like a huge kind of container sized dumpster. I mean, it was almost like a huge bus really, but it was like filled with trash or whatever in one of the warehouse. And we were digging and digging and digging, I think for several hours, and still never found it. So to this day, I don't know if they ever knew what happened to that film, but I think it was a pretty big deal for them because they, you know, they hired quite a few temps over a period of days, actually, to look for this film, and we never did find it. So you never know. So I kind of had a flashback there when you mentioned the dumpster diving. So I guess you never know what you can find in a dumpster. I guess just goes to show that.
That's true.
So I appreciate, you know, giving that background. And of course, so your bread and butter is drop shipping and making money online doing that. So I mean, the key thing that you have to think about when you're doing drop shipping, and you are no expert in that, is creating a sales funnel. So, you know, you've got to have a constant flow of people coming into your site. And so why is this really so important, specifically with drop shipping?
I think that's the core of any business. And with drop shipping, I think it's really important because obviously you don't have a retail storefront. So like you consider like a retail storefront, you know, you're going to have traffic almost automatically. It depends on where you are. Obviously, if you're in a mall, for instance, then you're going to have people walking by. If you're going to be on a street, you're going to have people driving by, you know what I mean? So like people will just see your store, and if they're interested, they'll come in. But a website, it's not like that. You know, you have to really put yourself out onto these platforms. And so to drive traffic to your website, there's a lot of different methods we use. Mostly it's pay-per-click advertising because that's going to get you to the top of the search engines right away, which is very difficult to do these days with organic search engines. You can do it in certain long-tail keywords and certain niches that aren't as competitive, but still it takes time. And so just building a website alone is not going to get you anywhere. You have to drive traffic to it. So we like to use Google Shopping ads. We like to use Google Search Text ads. We like to use Facebook ads. We like to use Pinterest. Pinterest is a great free traffic source. YouTube videos are great, like product review videos and things like that. And blogging, blog posts, and of course SEO and keyword targeting and stuff like that, and going for the organic rankings and backlinking and all that stuff still works great. But the Google Shopping ads tends to be the best traffic source for high ticket dropshipping specifically. When you're talking about products over like $300, where it kind of takes a longer sales cycle for somebody to decide to buy that product. So we usually go for the long tail keyword searches, people that really know what they want to buy. We bid really high on those terms, whereas on the short tail stuff, the kind of generic keywords, the product category kind of keywords, we bid a bit lower on that because it's not really a place where somebody's ready to buy yet. we look at a lot of our data and how many sessions they spent on our website, how many times they came back to it. And oftentimes we'll find like people spent, you know, an entire month coming back to our website like 6 or 8 different times before they finally made their purchase. It's not uncommon with high ticket products. There's a whole kind of a cycle you have to go through in your research before you decide on a particular product. And then of course, which store you're going to buy it from. So yeah, it's really important. And that's just on the traffic end of it. And that doesn't even cover the whole back end, which is the most important part in my opinion. Obviously, the front end is important to get people to your site to make that initial sale. But if you don't have things on the back end to upsell and cross-sell and get that person coming back for more and referring, your business isn't going to be fully profitable on the back end. You know, all that ad spend is you're really only covering the ad spend plus a little bit. But if you have, you know, services and accessories and things like that, you can upsell with the product. And then, of course, maybe ask them if they want to buy 2 or more. And then from there, just, you know, bring them back with email marketing, bring them back to Facebook targeting, ask them to refer their friends, ask them to make testimonials. All these things kind of help in the back end to bring more sales.
Right. That's awesome. Now, speaking of the Google Shopping ads, for the listeners that aren't really familiar with that, the Google Shopping ads are anytime you search for a particular product, for instance, let's say I was searching for high-end wireless headphones, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to see the little snippets of the different online retailers that are selling it or sites that are selling it, where it shows a little snippet or picture of the actual product, shows the price, and then there's a link to the site. And so with those are specifically pay-per-click, or are those things that you can rank for organically?
Yeah, those are only pay-per-click. And an interesting thing too, because, you know, traditionally search text ads with Google, which has always been their main pay-per-click kind of advertising, is a keyword targeting ads. So you get to choose which keywords that you show up for. Whereas with shopping ads, it's the opposite. So they choose the keywords you show up for. You actually have to tell them which keywords you don't want to show up for. So it's a different kind of a beast to manage. And you have to do it a specific way to make it profitable so that there's a specific kind of a structure to the campaigns you create. And it's pretty complicated, but we've come up with a system that works really well for high ticket dropshipping. And that's the kind of thing that I teach to my students now. And it works really well for us as well. So
yeah, that's great. So no, you know, you also mentioned that as far as the sale funnel is concerned, you mentioned a lot of different things that you have to do really all at once, you know, to drive traffic and to continually grow your funnel. And a lot of people these days, I'm constantly hearing the term of omni-channel marketing approach, where you're doing a little bit of everything. You're doing the Google ads postings or the pay-per-click on Google. You're also doing regular organic listings. You're trying to actually improve your organic listings by doing blog posts and getting your link out there. You know, so you're doing a little bit of everything. And that's definitely something that's key. I think, like you said, regardless of the type of business, you've got to have that constant sale funnel. It's just the difference with the high ticket drop shipping items. You don't have a storefront. There's no other way, no other source of traffic but the online traffic. Now, if somebody's just really kind of jumping right into it and doesn't really have any experience with doing it at all, what would you say are some good examples of high ticket products that have a good return that you've seen success with?
Yeah, sure. Now, there's tons of products you can sell online, obviously. But the best specific, like highest return products can be found in the strangest niches sometimes. And you wouldn't even have thought that they existed, but things like compostable toilets for tiny houses or something like that.
Okay.
Or even like solar panels and solar gear, that kind of stuff is very profitable. Strange types of grills, like, well, for instance, pizza ovens are pretty popular and profitable, and pellet grills and things like that. I have a whole list here. There's like wine coolers are very good, kegerators, you know, home bars, things like that. Infrared saunas or steam showers in the bathroom, those are quite profitable. Bidets and bidet toilet combinations. And generally speaking, we don't like to really go after furniture too much, because furniture, the suppliers tend to not enforce MAP pricing, which is kind of a big deal in high ticket dropshipping. MAP stands for minimum advertised price. And what happens is, if there's a lot of online retailers selling the same product and there's no minimum advertised price policy by the supplier, then a lot of them will start undercutting the other retailers until they get down to really close to cost. And then the people that are close to cost are going to get the sale probably just because it's cheaper, and nobody makes any margin anymore. So it's hard to, you know, spend ads on to send them to furniture listings from suppliers that don't have MAP pricing and still make a good margin. So what we usually do is we work on appliance sort of niches. Things that are generally electronics, sometimes not, but they're just kind of unique products, and they have MAP pricing. They come with a SKU number, which is really important. and usually like products with model names and unique brand names and things like that. Things that, you know, when you type them into Google, that product is going to come up for sure. It's not like some weird generic name. Those are really easy to rank for, really easy to show up for in the search. And they're less competitive than like the main things you'll see on like Wayfair and house.com and stuff like that. Some other examples would be like electric fireplaces, some like a lift chair, for instance, a very interesting category. You know, senior citizens, they sit at home, they can't get up off their chair. They make motorized lift chairs for them, which is kind of cool. And yeah, just, you know, strange little niches you never would have thought about.
Okay, great. Yeah, that definitely helps. That makes sense. I see what you're saying. You want to, you know, stick with a particular niche where, you know, it's just not overcrowded and, you know, it's going to be a high ticket, high item. And it's something that when you do a search, you're going to see that product. You're not going to find, like you said, one of those sites that just kind of has a whole glut of inventory of things that are like it. Now, as far as the marketing efforts are concerned, once you got your sales funnel going, you have, you know, things coming in. Where actually do you see the sales funnel beginning? I mean, I guess because it can start a number of different ways. And then where does it really end, or does it end? Is it like, you know, continuous? What's your take on that?
Yeah, well, it definitely begins usually at the pay-per-click traffic sources for high-ticket stuff these days. It didn't used to be like that. Back when I first started, 2010, we weren't doing a whole lot of PPC. We didn't have to. Well, in our niche anyways. I'm not sure other niches probably you still had to back then. But we were driving a lot of organic traffic just with YouTube and Pinterest and Instagram, things like that, and making tons of sales just through that kind of stuff. Whereas the landscape's changed quite a bit in the last 10 years. And so if you're not on pay-per-click, if you're not in the shopping ads and stuff like that, you know, it's really hard to compete, and especially in these really competitive categories like home goods and stuff like that. So yeah, it definitely begins in the pay-per-click world. But again, you can drive traffic through Pinterest and YouTube. And then to answer the question about where it ends, you're right. Like, it really shouldn't ever end. But I mean, you have to think about like every step of the way matters, you know. And so like the product page matters a lot. And so you can have the product itself, but you should also have it stacked with an offer. I usually suggest like people reading expertsecrets.com secrets, that kind of stuff, so they can understand like what an offer really is and what like a value ladder really is. Cause you can take the same ideas that people use to sell digital products, info products online, and apply them to selling high ticket physical products. Whereas, you know, you have a lot of things that go along with these physical products. Like you have to deliver the products, to provide customer service on it, you have to provide tech support, and all these things you can talk about in the listing as if it's like worth something. So like lifetime tech support, you know, $100 or value is $100 free, you know, free delivery or free shipping, you know, all these things can be stacked up like it's a full offer. So that's kind of part of it. And then you can also upsell accessories, which I highly recommend doing. The margin is usually higher if they ship from the same supplier. It doesn't cost any extra to ship usually. Do that on the product page, do it on the cart page. And the checkout usually is just the checkout. But then after the checkout on the thank you page, then you can upsell more. You can have a video that explains to them. You can have like a membership program for your website, or you can do a number of other things. And then of course there's the emails. You can send out emails after the sale that gets them to buy more stuff from you. You can retarget them with Facebook ads after the sale that gets them to buy more things from you, just like you can with email. Similar thing with YouTube. So yeah, there's tons of different ways to do that. And I highly recommend if somebody's going to get into this stuff, don't start too wide. That's my biggest tip for somebody, is start in very narrow. Start with like one product category and go as deep as possible into that category with all these different marketing methods, as many suppliers as you can in one category. Because you can really do a lot in one category. You can have a very profitable site just in like wine coolers, for instance. I've seen websites that do $50,000 to $100,000 revenue per month, you know, at around, I would say, 15% average, maybe a little bit more profit margin net after marketing costs. And so when you're dealing with that volume, you can reinvest in virtual assistants and stuff like that. So, and focusing really deep in one category, you can go deep in the marketing, deep in the retargeting and all that stuff. And that's when you really start to build a profitable business doing that kind of thing.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's some awesome advice. Now, you mentioned, as far as the marketing efforts are concerned, different things that you can do. And I think right now, like you said, the landscape has changed a bit. The focus really is on the pay-per-click marketing, pay-per-click advertising that you have to do. You know, we're really now also in the age of all of these available marketing tools. You know, there's so many marketing tools that are available that can help you, you know, optimize your funnel. Do you have any go-to tools yourself that you use specifically for optimizing your funnel and driving traffic?
First of all, we use Shopify for our e-commerce platform. It's just so easy to use, and it's a managed e-commerce solution. So they manage the SSL, they manage the domain, they manage the hosting. So if it really never goes down. And if it ever does go down, they deal with getting the website back up. So you don't have to have a developer on hand to do it. So that's really nice. And it's also really easy to use, and it works really fast. So we use Shopify. We also use the Shoptimized theme, which the Shoptimized theme is a theme that's not available in the Shopify marketplace. It's separate. And I've used it for a long time now, and I've actually done reviews on it and stuff like that. And it's my favorite theme because it has so many features built into it that you normally have to like custom add with a lot of different apps that Shopify has. So that's what we use. It converts really well. It goes really fast. And then what we use is a bunch of different apps. So like, for instance, I believe there's an app in the Shopify store called Google Shopping Feed app. And that is the app that you will link your product catalog with Google Merchant Center. And then you'll set up Google AdWords, or well, it's now called Google Ads from there. So that's really important that you do that. And because you have to get your catalog onto Google Merchant Center first in order to get it to Google Ads. And once you do that, then you can drive traffic with shopping ads to your website. And with high ticket, it's basically the number one traffic source for cold leads. And that's really good for that. And then when you want to get on the back end, set up Klaviyo. We use Klaviyo for email marketing. They have a really great flow structure and templates and stuff like that built into it. So it's really easy to set up. That's really important. We use Shoelace for Facebook retargeting ads. Shoelace is really cool because they have a series of different retargeting ads based on the number of days somebody has been exposed to your website. So they don't get the same ad over 30 days. They get a different ad every couple of days or whatever. So it feels a little bit more like email marketing, like you're having a real conversation with somebody. So Shoelace is really good. And then on the back end, we use a thing called Zipify. Zipify was created by Ezra Firestone, who does Smart Marketer. Incredible e-commerce entrepreneur, and he teaches people how to do this kind of stuff too. The Zipify is the software he created, and there's two versions of it. Zipify Pages, which allows you to create squeeze pages for lead offers, lead generators, and that's really good for, like, you know, basically getting somebody from a kind of a top of the funnel and middle of the funnel, and then diving them down into the bottom of the funnel, you know, through various sources like YouTube and Pinterest, usually free traffic or blog posts, that kind of stuff. Okay. Really good content marketing stuff there. It's also really good for building out customized product pages, drag and drop builders and stuff like that, and customized collection pages, customized blog posts. So, I mean, it looks really good, and it's really, really in depth. I use it on all our sites. And then they make another tool called Zipify One-Click Upsell, which is really cool. And so One-Click Upsell allows you, after the sale is made, to allow that person to add a accessory or whatever you want them to add to that order with one click, instead of them having to go back to your store, go through the whole checkout process again. So it lubricates the process of the sales funnel happening. And so if they didn't choose that accessory on the product page or the cart page, then they get enticed to do it again right after they check out, which is really cool. So those are some great tools that we use. We use a lot more, obviously, but right. Some of the main ones.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's great. I appreciate that listing of tools. And I definitely agree with you on Shopify as a platform, as e-commerce platform, because as you know, with our software, Omnistar Affiliate Software, we've had a relationship with Shopify for quite a while. We're featured in their app store and have been for a long time.
I totally forgot to mention you guys. Yeah, no, we use Omnistar for affiliate stuff. So I highly recommend you guys. You guys have a great platform, and affiliate marketing is great for referrals and stuff like that. If anybody else out there is thinking about trying to drive traffic back to their store, email marketing is great, but if you don't have a referral program, you don't really have a great way to incentivize somebody to do it. And Omnistar is a really cool platform, so I highly recommend your guys' software.
Yeah, thanks a lot. We appreciate that. Yeah, it's you know, and with Shopify, I always tell people, because we get customers from all over the world with different platforms, and when you see all of these other shopping platforms, and then you kind of look back at Shopify, you really see the power that they've created, and you know, just their overall ease of use. You mentioned their themes, just really straightforward. You don't have to worry about the uptime, things like that. And I would really say, hands down, they're definitely leaders in the game. So yeah, I would definitely second that as far as saying Shopify is, you know, definitely one of the number one e-commerce shopping cart platforms for sure. Now, of course, we did talk a lot about, again, the pay-per-click advertising. And, you know, these days, since, you know, we know a lot of your budget is going to go towards that. The big question that I know I have, and I know some of the listeners are going to have, is there a recommended ad spend budget to be successful? And, you know, especially if you're new to this, you're just getting into this, is there a specific budget amount that you recommend? And what's your advice on that?
Sure. Yeah. And there's a lot that goes into my answer here, so I'll try to make sense of it as best I can from a foundational aspect first. But it really depends on the amount of products you have in your store, first and foremost. If you have thousands of products in your store and you're running ads to all these different listings, it's going to cost you a lot more. And you're not going to always be making sales on all your products. So what I usually tell people and recommend in the very beginning, especially, is to do a lot of research on your competitors and also ask your suppliers to find out what the best selling products are out of their entire catalog. So if a supplier has a catalog of 100 products, find out what those top 10 or 20 best sellers are and only upload those to your website first and then run ads to those products and optimize those products as much as possible. Because if those are selling products and the rest of their catalog doesn't sell as much, what's the point of uploading the rest of them? So you'll lower your ad spend that way, because cost per click on shopping ads in non-competitive niches can be like as low as like 30 to 50 cents. But in very competitive niches, it can be as high as like $3 to $5 per click. So, you know, if you're trying to compete in a very competitive niche and you have hundreds and hundreds of products that you're trying to drive traffic to, first of all, it's really difficult to go through and optimize hundreds of products. It can be very expensive. Rewrite descriptions, add unique pictures, do, you know, sales videos, all this other stuff. It's a lot easier and less expensive to get it done on a small selection of products. And then the ad spend and the budget can be a lot less that way. So, you know, it really just depends on your catalog size. But if you're driving traffic to your website with shopping ads and you have all this other remarketing going on, you might be spending, you know, close to $100 a day when you have, you know, a big catalog, a big store going on, but you should be making at least $500 a day in profit with that $100 a day ad spend. That's usually what I go for, is like a 5x return on ad spend at the minimum. So that's what we aim for. And with high ticket products, when you sell it, $3,000 to $5,000 product, which is a really good sale, you're getting back probably $600 to $1,200 in profit and gross profit. And that's before your marketing costs. So, you know, that's when you're profitable.
Okay. So. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's some great advice, because I know kind of just jumping into it, it's kind of hard to determine, you know, how much do you need to really put into it. And, you know, like you said, depending on the keywords and the things that you're bidding on, you can burn through a budget really quickly, especially at the beginning, if you're not quite sure, you know, what to target. Well, Trevor, yeah, we really appreciate everything that you've enlightened us on with regards to high ticket drop shipping. It's definitely been great. It's an area, like I said, that I don't know a whole lot about, but I'm always curious as to various niches. And I know you've definitely given us a lot to think about. And for those people that are interested in kind of pursuing it, you're definitely the way to go to do that, as far as getting advice and as far as the courses that you teach on that. So switching gears here, I just wanted to ask one final question. What's one thing that our audience would be surprised to know about you?
Well, nowadays, I was just thinking about this, but I'm like half covered in tattoos now, man. Okay. I've been going crazy with the body art lately in the last year or so. It's funny because like I literally haven't even gone to see my family yet. And I'm thinking when I go back to see them, they're going to be like, what the heck happened to you? But you guys can check out my Instagram. It's just Trevor at Trevor Fenner on Instagram. You'll see all my tattoos and stuff like that. I got some full sleeves that I'm working on. I already got my right arm done. I'm going to do my left arm next month, and my legs are working on too. So yeah, it's pretty cool though.
Wow. So I guess before long, your whole body will be covered.
Most of it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. It's really amazing how tattoos have really just exploded over the past few years. Yeah. It's I've seen so many people with some really intricate, interesting art, you know, on their arms. And I see these full sleeves and I'm like, wow, I've thought about it myself. And I think at some point
start small.
Yeah. That's what people say. So yeah,
it can be very painful.
Oh, really? Okay. So I may eventually hit you up and ask you for some recommendations.
When I do go that route. Well, I can refer you to a good tattoo shop in Bangkok and also in Bali.
Well, at some point I do want to travel out that way. So yeah, I'll definitely be sure to do that if I'm ever out there.
You know, Thailand has a really cool tattoo style. Probably most people don't know about it, but it's called the Sakyant tattoo. And it stands for Sak is a tattoo style where they actually tap you with a long needle instead of it with a machine. And it really hurts. Like you're actually getting kind of stabbed a bunch of times. And a yant is kind of like a prayer that they do while they do it. So you get it done by a Buddhist monk at a temple, or even like a Buddhist monk, like they call it an ajarm, just kind of a student, and they do it at a tattoo shop. But it's a beautiful style of tattoos, and it's done in like an ancient Khmer language that only these Buddhist monks know. It's not really a well-known language anymore, kind of a forgotten language. And they do these really intricate designs and stuff like that. And I have a lot of them on my body as well, just because I just think they're so beautiful. It's It's just like the artwork I used to draw when I was a kid or something like that. It reminded me of that. So, and lots of deep meaning, lots of like protection and things like that, you know, and strength and courage and things, you know, worked into these tattoos of tigers and whatnot. So really cool stuff. A lot of Muay Thai fighters and like yoga people get these tattoos. So.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's awesome. I had never really heard of that, but sounds painful, but I guess if you're able to endure the pain, you're going to have a pretty good outcome on that. So that's yeah, I'll definitely think about that. Well, great. Well, yeah, it's definitely been a pleasure having you on the e-commerce marketing podcast, Trevor. And, you know, if any of our listeners want to get a hold of you, what is the best way for them to contact you?
Sure. Yeah. So the website's ecommerceparadise.com. I do have a podcast. You can check it out. It's e-commerce paradise. High ticket dropshipping podcast on the iTunes store, or just go to ecommerceparadisepodcast.com. And I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, I'm on YouTube as well, e-commerce paradise. So yeah, you can find me anywhere.
All right. Sounds good. We'll definitely do that. Look you up and see what tattoo you're going to get next.
There you go.
All right. Thanks again for joining us, Trevor. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Arlen, for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the e-commerce marketing podcast. Do you need to get more feedback and reviews from your customers and improve your customer retention? We have made it easy to do all of this with our advanced customer feedback software. Just visit getosi.com/feedback and sign up for a free trial today. That's getosi.com/feedback.
Thanks so much for listening to my interview with Arlen Robinson of the e-commerce marketing podcast. If you're interested in signing up for the OmniStar affiliate software, definitely check it out at ecommerceparadise.com/OmniStar. And by using my referral link, you'll be supporting me and my podcast so I can bring you more awesome interviews like this in the future. Thank you guys so much, and I look forward to talking to you in the next episode. Take care.